The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Comes to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour, The Big Lead. Before I dive into all the, oh man, we've got a plethora of news for you this hour, too. But you may, you know, I've been talking a lot about how Democrats and their voters have made the state much, much more dangerous with the restrictions that they have put on cops. And I think I'm going to talk to another county sheriff coming up in a few minutes here so we can keep illustrating this point. But it's not just the legislature that's making our state more dangerous. As you know, I've been very critical of King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg, who has legalized every single drug, heroin, meth, you name it, in personal possession amounts in King County. Then you have Dow Constein and a county prosecutor who lets a lot of criminals walk free. So we've talked about this a lot, even today. You have criminals walking into stores, breaking into cars, breaking into homes, stealing people's stuff, and then selling it for pennies on the dollar so they can get a next their next heroin or meth fix. And it's dangerous. There is another position that's up in this election, and I'm going to, I'll have my voter's guide recommendations either tomorrow or Friday. I'm working on it right now, so you can vote a straight Dory ticket. But I talked a couple of weeks ago with Ann Davison, who's running for Seattle City Attorney, and I really liked her, and she made it very clear on our show that she will start putting criminals in jail if she's the Seattle City Attorney. The usually Seattle City Attorney, they deal with misdemeanor cases, and they can book people for or jail people for up to a year. But Ann Davison will do. She'll actually start. She says, and I'm going to hold her to it. She'll start locking up criminals. And what's amazing is the Seattle Times, and I agree on this endorsement, because they've endorsed Ann Davison. I don't live in Seattle. I can't vote for her, but I certainly endorse her. But what is interesting is Pete Holmes, he's had the job. He's got name recognition. He's the incumbent. He got 70-some percent of the vote the last time he ran. And in a poll that came out last week, he only had 17%. Percent because people are sick and tired of all the crime. And Pete Davis, or Ann Davison's his challenger. Pete Holmes is one of the people who is so responsible for all of the crime that we have in our city and in our region. So he is going on the attack against Ann Davison. But this attack is so ridiculous. He's sending out daily emails about Ann Davison, and the one he sent out today, it's funny, unintentionally. City Attorney Pete Holmes, quote, a Republican city attorney. First of all, it's a nonpartisan office, but he, you know, it's a Democrat city. So I'm going to try to just say she's a Republican. A Republican city attorney is not going to represent the people and priorities of Seattle. So you're admitting, so the Democratic people and priorities have led to a murder rate that may set an all-time record, shootings that are on track to set an all-time record. We lead the United States of America in property crime, roughly 70% of which goes unreported because the police don't have any manpower to do anything about it. So all the property crimes. So that's the people and priorities of Seattle right now. Murders, shootings, drive-bys up 100%, lead the nation in property crimes, and we're among the nation's leaders in having poor heroin and meth-addicted souls laying on tarps in the mud. That's what Pete Holmes says about the people and priorities of Seattle. And then underneath it in his email today, Holmes, a recognized champion for progressive revenue, transit funding and workers. Revenue is the first word. What about locking up criminals? No, it's just about revenue from the city attorney's office. Unbelievable. Gun control, he mentions. Oh, yeah. Oh, these are the same people who let hundreds of felons with gun felonies walk free from jails and prisons in the last year. I tell you, it is unbelievable. So anyway, Ann Davison will be a good first step. If you want to start undoing the mistakes that have led to this this incredible wave of crime throughout our region. Which brings me to the first story in our big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
What I have been and will continue to spotlight is the effect that the House bill that went into effect statewide Sunday at midnight, House Bill 1310 and the companion bill as well. We're hearing all kinds of stories. I told you earlier about a woman in Kennewick over in the Tri-Cities. She came out with two kitchen knives. She was running at the police. They had to retreat. Now, ordinarily, they would have fired beanbags at her, but the legislation said, you must use less lethal force like beanbags. And then elsewhere it said, you cannot use a 50 caliber gun or larger. Well, guess what size gun fires beanbags? About a 37 millimeter, which is bigger than a 50 caliber. And so the police didn't have that option. So she slashed tires on the police cars. She started throwing dishes, broke her apartment window, threw dishes at the cops. Finally, when she crawled under a car, they were able to tase her. But they could have stopped all of that right in the bud if they could have just shot beanbags, which this new law prohibits from our cops. I talked yesterday with the Chelan County Sheriff. They had a man in a yellow dress who had just gotten out of Western State Hospital steal a yellow school bus, drive it across two counties. They had to break off the pursuit because of the new law. And up in Whatcom County, I've been hearing some stories of how this is affecting policing there. We got tons of great listeners in Whatcom County. My producer, Nicole, is from Whatcom County. And the sheriff there is Bill Elfo, who joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Sheriff, great to talk to you this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Okay, you heard my introduction. Are you seeing, Sheriff, any examples of crime that has gone on too long because the tools have been taken away from you and all of the men and women who serve under you?
Well, we have, and these new laws are going to profoundly affect our officers and deputies' ability to detect and prevent crime, apprehend dangerous criminals, and frustrating the caretaking responsibilities that we've historically performed. And ultimately, it's going to make our communities less safe.
Do you think that was the intent? Because I actually am starting to believe, Sheriff, that that is the intent of the Democrats in the legislature, certainly the ones who run the city of Seattle and much of King County government. I have seen what I believe is a pattern that's going to, you know, just tear away at the fabric of our community, and I think they have this fantasy that once it's all torn down, then they can rebuild it in their socialist Marxist image. And I know that sounds extreme, but I can't believe that it's a coincidence that all these things are happening at once.
Well, Washington State is going to be unique among the 50 states in the restrictions they place on law enforcement. For example, Terry stops, or allowing an officer to stop someone less than the standard of probable cause on reasonable suspicion and do a stop and frisk, investigate whether a crime has or has not occurred, and ultimately often develop probable cause to make an arrest and seize evidence. That's eliminated. We cannot do that any longer. We cannot use any degree of force to detain someone for an investigation. If someone flees from us in a vehicle, they could have committed an act of assaulting a law enforcement officer, which is a felony, an act of domestic violence, a burglary of your home. We cannot pursue them any longer unless pursuits are now limited to certain violent felonies, and that does not include the low-level felony assault cases.
Unbelievable. So here's the example I've been giving my listeners. If somebody's home has been broken into, maybe they're in the basement, they hear a window upstairs get smashed, their home's been broken into, they call 911. As the police are responding, they see a guy running down the street. If the homeowner isn't there to say, that's the person who broke into my house, if the cops, or they ordinarily, you know, 6 days ago, they could have stopped that person and questioned them and see if they could, in the midst of that questioning, determine that they have probable cause. But now, you are not allowed to stop and question somebody who's running away from a suspected crime site. Is that correct?
That's correct, unless we have a much higher standard of probable cause. And that'll make us unique among the 49 other states.
It's unbelievable.
We are currently the only state that I could find that's no longer going to allow this practice. And undoubtedly, many criminals will go free and people will continue to be victimized.
I talked to a state rep a couple of days ago on Monday, Roger Goodman, who's one of the big supporters of these new laws. And he said, like in the example of the beanbags, when I said, no, they're not allowed to do it. You prohibited the gun that shoots beanbags. And he goes, well, clearly the officers should know what the intent of the legislature is and go ahead and do it, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. But you guys can't run your lives by legislative intent. You have to run your lives by the letter of the law, don't you? Or otherwise, you're going to have some rogue attorney generals and governors coming after you.
Well, we operate under the plain meaning of the statute, which is pretty clear. And their intent in that statute is pretty clear as well. And it's the example you provided, it eliminates any firearms above 50 caliber, which includes the 12-gauge police shotgun, which is our platform for delivering less lethal rounds and beanbags to avoid the use of deadly force. And it also it defines this equipment, regardless of how it was acquired, as military equipment and directs that it be destroyed.
Jeez. This is insanity. I was born and raised here, Sheriff.
I just put in a supplemental budget request for $90,000 to equip our deputies with air guns as an alternative means for delivering less lethal when the shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun, has worked fine for us for years.
Fine. Yeah. Do you have, before I let you go, do you have any real-life examples from the last 4 days of how this has affected you fighting crime?
Well, we have one. I'm still getting all the facts in on it, but we were called out to the Sumas area for an individual that was in a mental health crisis. His mother wanted him to get help. He said he wasn't willing to go, and we are now prohibited from using force unless we have probable cause to believe a crime has been committed or there's an imminent threat. So we could not use force to take him into custody under the Involuntary Treatment Act, and he went ahead and went on to cause problems in the neighborhood and produce a BB gun and threaten officers with it, and he was ultimately arrested. If we could have intervened earlier, we could have taken him to the mental hospital for treatment, and now he's caught up in the criminal justice system, which my understanding is what the legislature wanted to avoid in the first place, but they've put these rules on us and these parameters that are really limiting our ability to deal effectively with these situations that we have so well for decades.
Sure. Well, I'll give you real quick. I know I don't want to take all your time, but real quick, I'll give you one from my family from yesterday. My wife was down at the grocery store, and she saw a guy trying car handles, one car after another after another. And she goes, hey, she yells out at him, what are you doing? Police station is in the same parking lot. Our city's police station is in the same parking lot as our grocery store. And he started saying to my wife the sob story about how he needs a place to stay tonight. And can she help him with some money? And she goes, oh, you're in luck. The police department has resources that they will offer you. Do you want me to walk behind you and you can go over there right now? He goes, no, but I need some food. They'll get you food too. And then she called the police. Cop came out, good friend of mine. And he said he trespassed that guy a month ago from the same place for breaking into cars. And the guy resisted when he tried to grab him up, but he was able to use force a month ago. The same officer found the guy yesterday and said, I don't have the option to use any force. Even though he was trespassing on a place where he's, you know, we gave him a trespass a month ago, he said all I could do was escort him off the property where he undoubtedly went and victimized somebody else, broke into somebody else's car or home as soon as he got off the property. And I'm thinking, our legislature has created this, Sheriff. I mean, I'm just dumbfounded by all of this.
Yeah, these are pretty profound changes. And, you know, our Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs and Sheriffs and Police Chiefs individually informed the legislature as to what the results of the consequences and the ramifications of these new statutes were. And nonetheless, they were responsive to other voices and enacted them into law. And you know, your officers are still going to do the best they can under the circumstances, but we have far less tools in our tool belt to deal with crime. And it's very frustrating for officers. We're seeing them, people that are now planning to retire early. We've had deputies already leave the agency. They don't want to take on this increased civil and criminal liability or a threat of losing their law enforcement officer certification for making a mistake.
Yeah.
So it has a lot of consequences. It's not just the statute you mentioned. There's a whole myriad of them, at least 17 major changes that are going to affect law enforcement in Washington State and community safety.
Yeah, making everything more dangerous. All right. Sheriff, it's great talk with you. I really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. All right, the sheriff in Whatcom County, Bill Elfo, joining us. So again, I'm going to ask the question. I know a lot of Democrats listen to my show, and I ask you this sincerely. We got the text line. Send me a message. 98973. Is this what you wanted when you voted Democrat for state legislature? Is this what you wanted when you voted in the Seattle City Council? Did you want all of this crime and death and shootings? Did you know that your votes were going to lead to record numbers of young black and brown men being murdered in the city? Did you know that your votes were going to lead to criminals walking free? Did you realize it? Because I told you during the legislative session what these bills were going to do, but you'd already voted these people in. And the cow was out of the barn when you voted them into Olympia. Are you ready to make a change? You ready to start getting some law and order back in this state? Unbelievable. It's infuriating what voters and their politicians have done to our state and to innocent people, innocent families who are getting robbed silly, who are being killed. It is time, once again, for tough love. This is on the voters who put all of these people in. And I hope you look in the mirror and really take and assess what you're going to do from here. Because this ain't working. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We'll check the news for you. And then I have yet another. It's unrelated, but it's another example of how I think life's going to get a lot tougher for cops. And it's not laws that the legislature passes. I will give you details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. What? I'm going to just admit something to you, because I teased you. I said I was going to tell you another story about what's making cops' lives even more difficult. But I think I'm going to save that for tomorrow, because I haven't recapped the Jay Inslee press conference that you just heard in Hannah's newscast there. And we did it right at noon today. But it is the big story of the day, and a lot of people have tuned in since our noon hour. So I do want to review that. First of all, I'm looking at all the text messages. Most of them are very nice, and I really do appreciate them. But here's one from the 206. The Dory Monson Show. I guess they don't like my coverage of COVID and crime. The Dory Monson Show, the same tired, repetitive narratives, simple-minded, I guess, incapable of putting together an intriguing program. It just makes me wonder about you. That you listen to a simple-minded person on the radio every single day. What does that make you? So you can send a strongly worded text. ooh, message received, and ooh, let me remove the barb. Okay, Jay Inslee Tick. He called a press conference this morning, and he said that he is recommending that we go back to wearing masks indoors. Because, you know, as Joe Biden says,
if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Oh, wait a second. What? No, so now Jay Inslee says, even if you are vaccinated, he is recommending, not mandate. Good luck with a mandate. But they are recommending you wear masks indoors. So private businesses may follow suit. Maybe the grocery store. If the grocery store, I love the people at my grocery store. They're part of our community. I'm friendly with every one of them. But then it's time for me to finally break down and just start doing the grocery delivery. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm vaccinated. I don't need it. I don't want it. I hate those masks. So Jay Inslee, daddy, he says that this recommendation is going to do wondrous things.
We know we have saved 10,000s of lives because we have always followed science, and we will do that again today.
How's this following science? We had that montage. If you didn't hear it, the Dr. Anthony Fauci 2-minute montage. Masks are useless. You should wear a mask. If you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. Even if you're vaccinated, you should have a mask. All delivered by Dr. Fauci. So there's no science. There's certainly no health reason. They have admitted the only reason they're recommending masking indoors is because they can't tell who's vaccinated and who's not. So they're essentially punishing the vaccinated so that we have to go through a little charade or a charade to make up for the fact that we don't wear something on our clothing that shows that we've been vaccinated or not. And then Jay Inslee said this.
One is the COVID virus, but the second is just as deadly, and that's misinformation. Unfortunately, too many of our citizens have been attacked by misinformation, much of it on the social media, which has caused them to ask questions about the vaccine and have blunted the ability for people to save their lives by getting this vaccine.
That's an outrageous soundbite. So he says that asking questions about the vaccine is deadly. We're not supposed to ask questions anymore. If daddy says do something, you should unblinkingly, unthinkingly, just do it. We're on the Nike commercial when the daddy's in charge. Just do it. Don't ask questions. We do what we're told. Don't ask questions, Jay Inslee says. Just do it. I'm trying to remember when I've heard something like that. Something that insane from a politician. Because I ask questions about everything. I don't go with the flow. I'm not intentionally a contrarian. I'm a contrarian by nature because I ask a lot of questions and I don't do what is just public popular opinion. I don't shape my opinions that way. Don't ask questions, he said. There are a lot of questions. Why should a 12-year-old get the vaccine when 12-year-olds are at almost no risk? What about 18-year-olds? Who have a slightly higher chance of swelling of the heart, myocarditis. And if they're healthy, they have almost zero chance of any ramifications from COVID. Should they get the vaccine? Oh, that's a question. I can't ask questions. Darn it. Neither can you. If you're a parent, if you're a kid, you know, they're going to start opening it up to 5-year-olds, which is ridiculous. Really, Jay, do I really need to get vaccine for my 5-year-old? Oh, don't ask questions, I said. Knock it off. Stop thinking. That's the bottom line. Just stop thinking. I got to listen to that again.
One is the COVID virus, but the second is just as deadly, and that's misinformation. Unfortunately, too many of our citizens have been attacked by misinformation, much of it on the social media, which has caused them to ask questions about the vaccine and have blunted the ability for people to save their lives by getting this vaccine.
So he said the two deadly things are COVID and misinformation. So, and misinformation leads to people asking questions. So if you even ask questions about the vaccine, you are as deadly as COVID-19 itself. Hope you can live with that. He said also, and I don't know what he means by this.
Now, as I've indicated, we are going to be considering doing some things in the upcoming weeks that we will believe will be effective to include the vaccination rate, because we just can't have unvaccinated people injuring their fellow citizens.
We just can't have it. So, you know, if you were listening last hour, Brock Huard came on, and he was not going to get the vaccine because he has the antibodies. He had COVID last year. His wife, his three kids, they all had COVID last year, and they all have tested positive for the antibodies. Nature has provided them with the greatest vaccine imaginable, and that's natural antibodies against the disease. But, you know, Fox Sports said, you know, you're our number two college football analyst in the country, and all these conferences, Fox isn't mandating the vaccine, but all of the conferences that they cover with their TV package, you're going to have to have the vaccine if you want to get into the press box. And so he can have a career still. Brock got the vaccine. But he asked questions about it. But Jay Inslee said the unvaccinated are dangerous. Really? Even if they had COVID and have the antibodies?
Oh, my God, just ask the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm slapping myself in the face. Okay, don't ask any more questions. Just do what you're told. Do what you're told. Do what I'm told. All right, take a quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we got no time to waste. Let's get right into our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, but before I do, I got a great text message. I told you earlier that there is homeless criminals who have shoplifted or broken into homes or broken into cars. They have set up an open-air bazaar on 3rd and Virginia in downtown Seattle. They have clothes that they've stolen from Target and Nordstrom, still have the tags on them, and they have them hanging on hangers on the fence. They have stolen bottles of booze, and there's a $70 in the store. It's a $70 bottle of whiskey that they sell for $20, and this has been allowed to continue, this open-air bazaar by criminals. Drug addict criminals who have stolen merchandise. Let me tell you how crazy our state is. Somebody texted me and just reminded me and said, isn't this the state that shuts down kids' lemonade stands? But they won't shut down homeless drug addict criminals who have shoplifted. That is correct. And I went to look for some stories to prove this point. And 2 years ago, there was a state rep who's up in Bellingham who said a constituent contacted her about an overzealous bureaucrat who approached his daughter selling lemonade and told her she needed a permit. Yes, we are the state now where bureaucrats require children to get a permit to sell lemonade, but they let drug addict criminals sell stolen merchandise unfettered in an open-air bazaar in downtown Seattle at 3rd and Virginia. Yeah, I'd say we're a little topsy-turvy upside down around here. Okay, let's get to our awesome audio now. Let's see, do we have any more J-ins? Yeah, I'll give you a couple more J, the data daddy. If you're unvaxxed, and there are, what are we, about 20-30% unvaxxed in our state? Would that be a couple million people? If you're unvaxxed, Jay Inslee has a message for you.
Look, people who are unvaccinated right now are a danger to their fellow citizens. They create a risk to their fellow citizens. And that's a danger that we can't ignore.
But they're only a risk to their unvaxxed fellow citizens, right? You told us that the vaccine would protect us from that, right? And he did have this important point, mainly for the moose who were listening to his press conference.
You don't grow antlers out of your forehead when you get this vaccine. You get your life saved, and you stop being a risk to your neighbors and your family.
Well, now moose aren't going to want to get the vaccine. Because maybe, just maybe, Governor, they want to grow antlers out of their forehead. And if they get the vaccine, they won't? I mean, that's stifling. I thought you liked nature. Crying out loud. Then let's see. While they're telling us we must vaccinate our children, we must, because they say the Delta variant is far more dangerous. Let's go to the CDC to hammer that point home.
The Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, is it?
We don't have any evidence that is doing so, and that's really great news. But I do want to emphasize, and I know all of the data, and it is so true that all of the data say the kids do better than the adults. Transmission is less in schools than it might be in other places when prevention strategies are in place. But I think it's really important for people to understand that this is not a benign disease in kids compared to other diseases that our kids see. So if you look at the mortality rate of COVID just this past year for children,
What happened there? Little glitch. It's no more dangerous than COVID, the Delta variant. As much as they want to try to tell you that, so your kids will get vaccinated. Your choice as a parent, but seems silly to me, but it's your family's life. Representative Chip Roy from Texas on the House floor. Now, if you've seen the video the last couple of days, Joe Biden has, or whoever is controlling the puppet strings in the White House, they've opened up our southern border in a shocking way. And we have tens of thousands of illegal aliens streaming across our southern border. And I watched video of a long line walking into the United States of America last night. And fewer than half of them were masked. It turns out many of them have COVID. So while Jay Inslee and Joe Biden are telling us that we should wear masks, they are letting illegal aliens who have been unchecked for the virus, they're walking in illegally to this country without wearing masks. Then they're put on planes and they're flying them to mid-sized cities all around the country to disperse the problem, because they know that tens of thousands of illegal aliens all concentrated in Texas or New Mexico or Arizona or California would be a problem for those cities, those communities around them. But now they're trying to diffuse the problem, disperse them around the country, and they're flying them at your and my expense. It's really unbelievable. And then, of course, many of them carrying drugs that end up here in the Puget Sound area. Lots of it is laced with fentanyl, and it's killing a lot of our young people around here. It's amazing. It's really amazing. So why don't we ask the illegal aliens to get masked? I got to play the rest of that soundbite later. Because I'm about out of time here this afternoon. We've already put together a fantastic show for you tomorrow, and it can only get even more better from here. So look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. And thanks for hanging out with us. Really, really appreciate it. Your time's the most valuable thing you have, and that you give some of it to our radio show means everything to me. All right, Tom Curley Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. High noon.
And that's Wednesday.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.